Extra Student Nightline is here for you through your studies. No problem is too big or too small. Our trained student volunteers will listen, not lecture. It's a free and confidential service. Check extranightline.ac.uk for our instant messaging service and find our number on the back of your student card. See us on Instagram at extranightline for our opening hours. Extra Student Nightline, run by students for students.
Whether you're a fresher, fourth year, or forum concierge, it's your campus station.
Broadcasting 24/7 from Devonshire House, we are 87.7 Expression FM.
Expression FM News.
I'm Tom with Expression FM News on Wednesday the 14th of May. The Royal College of Psychiatrists has said it doesn't support the bill to legislate assisted dying in England and Wales. Their president said they remain neutral on assisted dying but had concerns about its current form to not have a High Court judge reviewing cases. Instead, it's proposed to have a senior panel including a psychiatrist in what is a highly divided issue amongst MPs. More than 1,000 inmates will be released early to free prison spaces in England and Wales. Those who are recalled to prison, where a prisoner's term of licence are breached, will be kept for 28 days. It comes as the prison system has had £5 billion allocated over the next 5 years to build more spaces. An Ofsted report has found Devon County Council's children's services as inadequate. The inspection covers the council's services for children in care and at risk of harm. It had the same ranking 5 years ago, the lowest possible. The report praised an improvement in leadership, but discovered a lack of planning and strategy to stop children from facing harm. Everywhere you go, always take
the weather with you. Today's weather, here on Expression FM.
A sunny day in Exeter with highs of 21 degrees throughout the afternoon, moving to a clearer sky overnight, a low of 5 degrees. For Expression FM News, I'm Tom Langley.
The stories that matter, on the hour, every hour. Expression FM News.
Welcome back to the table. I'm Eliza Martin.
And I am Izzy Trubshaw.
In this podcast, we come together to discuss all questions big and banal. So Izzy, let me ask you a question. Did you know that some buildings have no 13th floor and that some aeroplanes have no 13th row? Or that in some Eastern cultures, whistling at night risks luring out evil spirits?
I have a feeling I knew the one about the aeroplane, but the others I didn't know.
Well, if you can tell, this week's episode is on superstitions. So, Stevie Wonder, take it away.
Thank you.
That was Superstition by Stevie Wonder. So, as Eliza said, today we're going to be discussing some superstitions, some communal shared superstitions, but also some more superstitions more cultural specific, specifically linked to France and Italia, which is what me and Eliza study at university. So we obviously all have superstitions, or at least I definitely do. I can't walk over three drains, which I think is a little bit weird. And actually, I think my friends have started to not be able to walk over three drains as well as a result of my own superstition. Eliza, can you? I don't know. Are you one of those ones that have taken it from me?
I feel like I dip in and out. Whenever I'm conscious of it, I avoid them, and otherwise it's not really on my mind. But I'm more of one to touch wood after jinxing themselves.
I do that as well. But yeah, like I said, we've all got some pretty commonly shared ones. So for example, walking under ladders or breaking mirrors or the black cat. But like, what actually are they?
Well, I was reading about this, and as human beings, obviously we are kind of wired to look for patterns in our behaviour and in our lives. For example, if you stand in front of a car and then, you know, you almost get hit by a car, you're going to look at this cause and effect pattern and learn so that you can survive. But as we are human, our brains sometimes confuse real cause and effect patterns for ones that aren't real. For example, if you pick up a penny and then you have 3 days where nothing bad happens, your brain starts to believe that this is a real pattern to look out for. And so superstitions kind of become real to our minds.
It is strange because it almost feels like we're not really in control of it in a way. Like, it feels kind of like a supernatural force comes over us and something is controlling our ways of thinking, which is, it's really strange. We thought we'd start off the podcast by kind of talking about a few of the most commonly shared superstitions that everyone has over the world. So I looked into the superstition of seeing a black cat, and that's meant to be kind of like this omen and giving you bad luck if you see or cross paths with a black cat. And it's really interesting because actually the relationship between cats and humans dates back for centuries, and it wasn't actually always seen as bad luck. In fact, like in ancient Egypt, something that we discussed in a previous session, domestic cats were actually seen to be really good luck, and they were treated like royalty. And apparently accidentally killing one would result in you being sentenced to death. So cats were actually seen as like this really, these figures.
I mean, it makes you think, like, what did the cat do? Cats are so cute. They're so fluffy. They're sweet. They're pets now. So how could they be bad luck?
Well, so the omen side of the cat actually dates back to the Greeks, where I don't really know why it was specifically the black cat, but the black cat was linked to Hecate, which is the goddess of sorcery and magic. And then in the Middle Ages, this started to be associated with certain negative connotations, kind of provoked by the Catholic Church, which linked the black cat to Satan, and Satan was linked to sorcery. And so as a result of that, people started seeing the black cat as something relatively negative. They wanted to get rid of this evil, and they wanted to banish all this evil. And so they actually started killing all the black cats, and they would actually beat the cats to death to try and get rid and purge all this evil, which I think is crazy.
That kind of reminds me of the plague, when they thought that cats carried the disease, and so they started killing all of the cats. I mean, they've not had good luck themselves.
Well, I'm just about to say that actually, did you know the reason the bubonic plague spread so fast was because they started killing all of the cats? Because the cats could obviously get rid of the rats, and that's what was spreading one of the reasons for the spread of the plague. They could have eaten the rats, and little did they know that could have saved thousands upon thousands of people from dying. Instead they decided to kill the cats, and there we go, the spread of the bubonic plague. And now this has had really big influences on the way that we treat cats or black cats today. And apparently black cats have the lowest adoption rate, only 10% of adoption rate. I don't really know what it means to euthanize a cat, but highest rate of euthanasia apparently, 79%.
That's really sad.
It's really sad. So there we go. If you guys have, well, I was about to say, if you guys have a black cat superstition, then try not to have it. But it's a bit easier said than done, really, isn't it? Because I all have all these superstitions, which I don't really want to have, but I do have. Yeah. So try not to have them, but obviously it's not really in your control.
That is tricky. I want to talk about another superstition as well. You know, the superstition of breaking a mirror and how it can bring you 7 years of bad luck. Mm. I think I have had this. When I was younger, I smashed a mirror. And I kid you not, I remember several years later, I suddenly had the best year of my life. So many things were going right for me. And I thought, you know what? It's probably been about 7 years since I smashed that mirror.
Oh, so it's like after the 7 years, good
luck came back.
I feel like there's a positive way of seeing it. Because rather than having necessarily bad luck in the 7 years, it's just good luck after the 7 years.
Do the inverse.
I feel like that's a better way of thinking about it, because I think some people can get really bogged down by the 7 years. Even earlier you were telling me how some people online had broken a glass and they were searching up desperately, like, what does this mean? What's going to happen to me? Which I think is a little bit extreme, but obviously people do get really bogged down by these superstitions.
So I had a look at why, you know, where this superstition came from, and it actually has Roman origins. So back then, artisans believed that the gods could observe their souls through any kind of shiny reflective material like metal, and that's how they made their mirrors back then. And therefore, damaging these items was seen as disrespect to the gods, and that they would therefore tempt bad luck. You know, if they damage this device that allows the gods to kind of maintain their control over the mortals, then, you know, you are going to kind of tempt some anger there, considering there was this whole hierarchy taking place. And this was especially problematic when they started to make more fragile mirrors out of glass, because obviously everything was breaking all the time. It was a new new product. Obviously, if you're going from metal mirrors to glass mirrors, I imagine some people weren't quite as careful as they should have been. However, at the time, the Romans believed that the body renewed itself every 7 years, which is a little bit handy. At least your bad luck won't last forever. So after 7 years, the bad luck would break. And so perhaps it's this kind of glimmer of hope that is why this superstition is alive today.
I guess so. I think just something came to mind. Why 7 years? Like, that's such a random...
Well, you know what? Seven is a magic number.
It's according to you or according to everyone?
According to several
sources,
renowned people. For example, seven is literally called the magic number. It's in why J.K. Rowling had seven books.
Seven Horcruxes.
Yeah, seven Horcruxes. Seven days of the week. Seven comes up loads of times, so I imagine something.
Maybe I feel like the 7 day of the week thing would have maybe influenced the decision there.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. So, after 7 years, you'd be back to your fine self. However, if you did smash a mirror, fear not, there are some ways that you can try to combat this bad luck. So some people believed that one way is to grind the mirror into a fine powder so that you can't see your reflection in it. Because basically, if you saw your reflection fragmented, like in a broken mirror, then it would reinforce the bad luck in your soul, because it's how they viewed your soul. It was like the entry point to the soul. So if your image, if your reflection, your exterior was cracked, then it can't mean anything good for your soul. Obviously.
And how were they grinding that down?
I don't know, but it sounds a bit dangerous to me.
It does. I don't think anyone at home, the household, will have the tools in order to grind it down to sand.
Yeah. So maybe this is more one for back then.
Maybe,
with the Romans. But I also, this kind of comes into, this kind of makes sense with another idea around this superstition, that some cultures believe that the size of fragment will determine the level of bad luck. So if it smashes into several small pieces, it's just a little bit of bad luck. But if it smashes into two big pieces, my gosh, you've got to be worried.
Dear.
So maybe that's where the grinding down comes from, you know, how much your soul is fragmented. Maybe that there's a reflection.
That's really weird. And because obviously you've got, I mean, just thinking about fragmented souls and stuff, you've got like this idea of the fragmented self, and people almost have this like inner turmoil when they've got the fragmented self. And I know there's this psychologist called R.D. Lang who talks about the devised self. So when your self is basically split into two, and they say that schizophrenic people have this devised self. Like you feel one way sometimes yourself, and the other way you feel like you can't connect with the world and with other people. Ooh. And so I don't know, maybe this kind of this psychological theory came from this superstition that's probably definitely not true, but maybe.
Well, no, maybe, because I mean, if you think about it, back then a lot of mental illnesses and general illnesses were linked with evil spirits. I mean, if you sneezed in the medieval period, saying bless you was a way to
get rid of
the devil, you know?
Wow, so then maybe it is. Maybe it is.
That's very interesting. Okay, so if you don't have some kind of tool to grind it down, then you can, in fact, place your mirror in a south running stream. So don't worry about that one. Otherwise, you can bury the mirror so that the spirits can't find it. So that superstition I find quite interesting, because it is kind of global. Like, I think a lot of cultures do have that superstition, which is very interesting. But before we move on to some more superstitions, how about we have a song? This is Bad Day by Daniel Powter.
Where is the moment we need it the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. Tell me your blue skies fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need no care or none. You stand in the line just to hit a new low. You're faking a smile with the coffee to go. And tell me your life's been way off. You had a bad day, you take it one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie, you work on a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day, the camera don't lie, you're coming back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day, you had a bad day. We'll be right back.
day. I have had a good day. So how about you, Eliza?
I've also had a good day.
Good. Maybe no superstitions today. Although, yeah, no, I avoided my three greats this morning. So that was a positive. So yeah, moving on to the next part of our podcast, which is discussing some more other different cultural superstitions that we can find across the world, which aren't necessarily in the UK, which is kind of interesting. So I found one in which is quite a common superstition in France, apparently, which is that you can never, or it's bad luck to play a loaf of bread on a table upside down, and specifically a baguette. And the La Connexion, which is the French newspaper where I found this from, explains that this dates back to the Middle Ages, when executioners had very busy schedules. And so they had rarely time to go to the bakery in the mornings. And so the baker, instead of leaving, they would leave a specific bread loaf out for them. And in order for the executioner to know which bread was his, the baker would turn it upside down, so the public knew which bread to avoid. And it was said that whoever ate or touched this bread that wasn't theirs would mean that person would have some bad luck. And specifically, it was kind of going to cast this hunger spell over them. So then I think they'd be really hungry. Eliza, you definitely wouldn't survive. Eliza gets very hungry. I wouldn't suppose, but I get very hangry. So, but actually, apparently, it's quite interesting that the Flavours of Paris, which is another magazine, said that in order to undo the curse, you can simply draw a cross with your knife on the flat side of the bread before you eat it. And so then you can eat it even though it's not yours, and you won't get this hunger spell cast onto you, which is slightly bizarre, but. Yeah.
Is that to do with Christ, the cross of Jesus?
Kind of
a symbol of God to kind of counteract the
bad deeds. Yeah, I like that. Let's go with that. Though, don't take that. Take that with a pinch of salt.
That you then throw over your shoulder.
Actually, another source said that she's not so sure if this superstition is entirely true, because apparently the baguette only originated between the 1830s and the 1900s. So actually, if you do the maths, it doesn't quite add up. So she claims that the story behind the superstition is a load of rubbish. But I quite liked it, and I liked our addition with the cross, so I think we should stick to it. And actually, another one which I'm going to quickly, briefly mention, because I really liked it, but I couldn't really find any historical background to it. So I thought I'd leave it to the end and quickly mention it, is that apparently in France, if you step in dog poo with your left foot, foot, that's bad luck. Right foot apparently is good luck. Left foot is bad luck. So if you ever see people walking down the street and they're kind of like jittering with their feet, it's because they're trying to get the right foot in the dog poo. I think
that's so interesting to hear. I love that stepping in dog poo could possibly in some culture bring good luck, because that's always so nasty.
Yeah, exactly. But I doubt it'd mean people would actively go out of their way in order to do that. maybe they do. I hope not, but yeah, I definitely wouldn't.
I wonder. All right, well, for the next part of this episode, we're gonna listen to another magical song. This one is Witchcraft by Frank Sinatra.
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo,
in me. My heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. That crazy witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you.
All right, so that was Witchcraft by Frank Sinatra. Okay, so now I'm going to bring to you some superstitions from Italia. I actually have a saying here. I don't know how far spoken it is, but apparently they say non è vero ma ci credo, which means it's not true but I believe it.
And that was a great accent.
Thank you very much. I was stressing just in the break there. Okay, so the superstition that I want to talk about now is that bad luck follows after spilling oil. Of course, Italians have a superstition about spilling olive oil. I love it. It's just
olive
so
oil,
iconic.
I imagined it to be like, you know, boats spilling oil.
I mean, I guess that's quite bad as well. Of course it is the olive oil that you have in your kitchen table. In the past, olive oil was a precious commodity. Obviously, it was used in cooking. It was used for, maybe not all olive oil, but oil and olive oil included. Also used for lighting lamps. It was used as a form of currency. And so at that time, if you spilt it, it was quite reckless. It was a very expensive item. It could get you a long way. And if you spilt it, you were reckless and you were probably going to upset the gods. And it was especially bad if you spilt it on the ground, because in that case, it was completely wasted. There was no way you're going to be able to use that. And not to mention, it's a pain to clear up. However, there are some ways that it can be defeated. They say that sprinkling salt over the spill is believed to counteract the negative effects.
Right.
So it seems that salt is kind of the key thing here. If you have a bit of salt, you can just, you know, kind of chuck that at some devils and you're gonna be
all right.
Well,
you know what that made me think of?
What?
Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh yes.
When they throw the salt at
is
the demons.
Salt?
Yeah, it's salt.
Yeah, and they have
and
the
ketchup. But let's go with the salt. Well, ketchup's also Italiano. And it gets rid of the demons. It burns them.
That's so true.
Maybe it's all linked.
I wonder. So you know how salt you sprinkle salt on like slugs and they die.
Yes.
Are slugs something to do with
the devil?
Evil
spirits? They're not lovely, are they?
Interesting. Well, yeah, so clearly salt is something that you should have on you at all times. Apparently, some people say that you can also dab it behind your ear if you spill a bit of
the oil
salt.
Or the salt?
The salt.
Yeah. Okay.
And others say that there's nothing you can do to counteract the spilling of oil. It is spilt and therefore you must mourn.
Mourn.
So it's a bit dark over here. However, some people say that there is a positive superstition with oil, which is if you give it to someone, then it brings you good luck. So if you gift it, then I guess you're doing a good deed and you should be rewarded. I think it's for the same reason that olive oil or oil... probably olive oil, come on, is the symbol of abundance in the Mediterranean, and therefore prosperity will follow if you share it around. Today, now the superstition kind of it still exists, but of course, it kind of shows itself in normal habits of day-to-day activities, and it's just being careful with ingredients that you use in your recipes. Mm. It shows respect to the ingredients.
And I was just thinking, what if you gifted someone some oil? No, let's say you spilt some oil,
mm-hmm.
and then you gifted someone mm-hmm. with some oil. Does that counteract it?
I wonder.
I mean, it wasn't one of the ones you mentioned, but does it, you know, balance
my
out
thought
the good
is,
and the
what if that just brings the demons, their attention to you, and then they realise you're just doing it to get in their good books? I don't know. That could be a bit of like a suck up moment, and then maybe they'll just give you more bad luck.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that was pretty interesting. So there you got some French and you got some Italiano. I wonder, do your research. I wonder what there is in Russia and in...
Yeah.
Other places, mm-hmm. Spain,
mm-hmm.
I can't think of any countries right now, Poland. I think it'd be interesting to see what all the cultural differences are with the superstitions around the world. Before we move on and discuss whether we think they are valuable or problematic in the long run, we're going to play another song for you, which is Magic Moments by Perry Como.
Magic moments when two hearts are kept. Magic moments, memories we've been sharing. I'll never forget the moment we kissed the night of the hayride. The way that we hugged to try to keep warm while taking the sleigh ride.
Magic moments, memories we've been sharing. Magic moments when two hearts are caring. Time can't erase the memory of these magic moments filled with love. The telephone call that tied up the line for hours and hours. The Saturday dance, I got up the nerve to send you some flowers.
Magic moments, memories we've been sharing. Magic moments, when two hearts are caring. Time can't erase the
whenever our team was scoring a touchdown.
The time that the floor fell out of my car when I put the clutch down.
The penny arcade, the games that we played, the fun and the prizes.
The Halloween hop when everyone came in funny disguises.
Magic moments filled with love.
Magic Moments by Perry Como. That was a great song. I've never heard that one before. Yeah. I feel like you... Do you know it?
I know it, but I can't remember where I first heard it. I think I've heard it in a movie or something.
Yeah. It sounds like one of those ones in like, you know, one of the ones made in the 50s.
Yeah.
Something
yeah,
like that.
It does.
Now we're going to discuss a bit more about like why we have superstitions. Mm-hmm. We've obviously explained that it's something to do with like the reflection of our thought patterns and thought processes. But why else do we actually have these superstitions? Because personally, I feel like I have mine as a form of trying to take more control in mm-hmm. my life.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I'm playing a tennis match or something, I'll always like tap my hand 3 times because 3 is my lucky number, in order to try and make me like perform well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's me saying to myself, I've got this, I've got control of this tennis match and I can do it. And actually, this kind of reflects what Stuart Weiss says, who he says that performance in skill-based activities can actually be improved, and this is evidenced. Wow. Because of these lucky enhancing superstitions. Yeah. Do you have the same kind of thing? Do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the superstition we mentioned earlier about touching wood, I think I do have some kind of superstitions that I do that are difficult to kind of get out of your head. I guess if you're on a winning streak, in a sense, or if you're doing really well, it makes you kind of question, why am I doing well? Like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people have a bit of a fear, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to be our best selves. We have an innate desire to achieve self-actualization. So this is the idea that you can be your best version of yourself. So I guess I do, I think superstitions probably do play a role in this behavior, because if you, for example, say like, oh my God, I did really well in my test. And then you're like, oh, I need to go touch wood right now. I guess it's because you don't want to, you fear that you're, I don't know, like getting ahead of yourself or something, and you just want to keep it going.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And also, I feel like having that superstition, it's almost like you've got like a buddy next to you.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like someone on your shoulder, mm-hmm. kind of making sure that it's okay. So you're not you alone with the test. Mm-hmm. There's like another kind of safe space that can kind of make sure that that it is going to go well, and like there's a bit mm-hmm. of responsibility, I suppose, put onto something else.
No, exactly.
And I guess like it's almost the same with, I mean, not really, but analogously with like religion. People like mm-hmm. can't really explain what's going on, and so some people believe in a god, and that kind of explains it for them. And it's kind of similar with superstitions. Yeah. Like, I'm doing really well. Why am I doing well? It doesn't make sense. Oh, maybe it's because I did this and I've mm-hmm. been doing this, and I've always been doing well. Once I've been tapping my mm-hmm. like hand on my leg 3 times, therefore I must keep doing it, because mm-hmm. Otherwise it's not going to go well. And so I suppose there is value in that, because it does give that people that sense of control mm-hmm. that they might otherwise feel like they don't have, or it gives them that security that they feel like they need. And mm-hmm. I certainly definitely feel that, and I feel like there could be value in that.
Mm, yeah, I feel like it's kind of paradoxical in a way, because on the one hand, you might believe in these superstitions to take control of your life, but on the other hand, it kind of takes control of you. Like, as we said, the responsibility shifts in a way. It's like, oh, it's not necessarily that this happened because of me, it's because of this superstition that did or did not happen. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, the control is then put onto the superstition, so it's like you use it to gain control, and yet it has control over you at the same time. It's bizarre.
That is bizarre. And I feel like then it could become relatively problematic, because you, for example, might kind of put yourself in for failure if, for example, you don't go and touch wood. And then I feel like often your actions will change based on what you do and you don't do. For example, if you didn't go and touch wood, you would just stress out so much, and I feel like that stress would result in something negative happening. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the stress that caused it to happen, but you believe that it's because you didn't touch the wood.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this, it's like a vicious cycle almost in a way. And so then it can become really problematic.
Yeah.
And obviously people can go to the extremes with these superstitions, and they really can have some quite negative thoughts of, well, if I don't do this, something really, really bad's going to happen. And getting stuck in those habitual thoughts just can't be good for your mental state, your physical state. And so I think, yeah, like we were saying, it's important to have that there's value in this sort of control you can have over it. But like you said, there's this paradoxical nature where it can take control of you. And I think that's when it can become really quite dangerous in a way.
Yeah, yeah. So perhaps it's kind of the sort of thing that you kind of do need to take with a pinch of salt, that you do need to take in moderation, because if you let it have all of the control, then it's probably going to have more of a negative effect on you. You're just going to feel powerless and stressed out. Whereas if you kind of view your superstition as maybe something a bit of fun, or I don't know, something that you have control over.
Something like we were saying earlier, there are some superstitions which bring you luck rather than bad luck. So it'd be great if you could kind of put the two and two, take the two and two and put them apart a bit, and only utilize the ones that give you like, if I touch this, that's going to happen, good. And if it doesn't, nothing bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because also, when you have your superstitions and you shift this responsibility, that means that you might take away from your own achievements as well. Like, if you've done well in something, if you've done well in a tennis match, it's because you did well in a tennis match. You don't want to have to say, like, oh, yeah, I did well, but it's only because I
touched
wood, spun around three times, yeah. You know? So, yeah, I think having it in moderation, if it gives you a bit of a boost, like, oh, yeah, okay, I've got my lucky charm, I'm feeling good, great. And then afterwards you can say, okay, that was a little boost, but at the end of the day, that was me and that was my achievement and I feel proud of myself.
Exactly, yeah, because it'd be crazy to think if I didn't wear my lucky earrings to my exam, I'm suddenly going to fail my exam. And I don't have it to that extreme, but yeah, have it as a boost. Like, it's just so difficult though, because it's like, I'm definitely going to do well if I have it. If not, I might do well. but no, I think, yeah, it is important to be able to separate the two of them. Mm. And I was just thinking that OCD, like people that do have OCD, I feel like it's kind of a similar thing is happening, which obviously not to the same extent, but it is this kind of these habitual thought processes, which I think it's quite interesting, the link between superstitions and OCD. Obviously, they're not superstitions, but the fact that they do have these kind of, they have to do this in order, you know, to feel okay within themselves. And it is the similar thing with, for example, stepping over three drains. I can't do that to feel good in myself. And I feel like there's a link there, which is quite interesting in terms of human thought processes and how we are all really similar. Because I feel like no one, I mean, if you ask everyone, probably most people will have at least one superstition. So.
Even if they don't believe in it fully, like just having a little something that they think every now and then, I will do this, like when your eyelash falls out and you blow away for a wish. Like, I don't know if I necessarily believe in it, but I just do it every time. It's
and
just
don't tell anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like blowing out the candles and not telling anyone.
It's
become a part of our culture as well. I mean the fact that there are different superstitions within different cultures shows it is a cultural thing.
Yeah, that it goes across the world like that loads of places can have the same superstition is just so interesting. And in a way, I guess it's like a kind of something you can bond over, some kind of joint, I want to say shared interest, it's not really an interest, but like
just a weird
similarity between people. It's quite interesting to
brings people together. So, yeah, I definitely agree. So well, that was a bit about the values and problems, I guess, with superstitions. But I think overall, we can utilize them for our, employ them for our benefits. You just need to learn how to do that. But let's focus on the more lucky side of things rather than the unlucky side of things and the good superstitions. So here we are. We're going to be playing Lucky by Jason Mraz.
Do you hear me? I'm talking to you. Across the water, across the deep blue ocean, under the open sky, oh my baby, I'm trying.
Boy, I hear you in my dreams. I feel you whisper across the sea. I keep you with me in my heart. You make it easier when life gets hard.
Lucky I'm in love with my best friend. Lucky to have been where I have been. Lucky to be coming home again.
Ooh. They don't know how long it takes
waiting for a love like this. To an island where we'll meet. You'll hear the music, feel the air.
I'll put a flower in your hair.
Though the breezes through the trees are most so pretty, you're all I see.
Welcome back to our podcast today, where we are discussing superstitions. So throughout this podcast, we've been discussing different superstitions that we communally share with others across the world, but also in different cultural contexts, in specifically in France and Italia. But now, as we reach the end of our podcast today, like always, we're going to have a little would you rather question, just to consolidate this podcast. So today, our would you rather question is, would you rather always have incredible luck in small everyday things, or have one instance of life-changing luck?
So everyday small pieces of luck and one big piece of luck.
Or one big thing, life-changing event, whatever you want.
That's quite interesting. I'd say... my gut instinct is telling me small pieces of luck every day, because I feel like that would really put me in just a good mood. If there was a little something positive every day that I could think of that was quite lucky and just like gave me that little edge, I feel like that would just put me in such a good mood all the time. But then I guess if I did have it all the time, would it feel like it's lucky? I don't know.
I feel like because they're different things all the time, like... I don't know, like you... What kind of luck are we talking? Because is it that you have to do something? So is it linking to the superstition? So if I walk over three drains, then this is going to happen and you can choose whatever it happens.
Seek it out. You have to like make this luck happen before you can have it.
Yeah, because then I feel like you go crazy. Because you would want everything. You'd become like one of those, you know, like a money-grabbing like little, golem.
Yeah, definitely. And before you, for example, say you're about to like walk into a job interview and you realise you hadn't run over three drains, and suddenly you're like, oh my god, I have to go, and you run outside, find three drains, run back inside, like,
and then have
the
little bit of
practical
luck. It's not practical, and I feel like it would drive you a little bit crazy because you'd want it all the time and you'd be like so greedy for it. And then maybe because you get it all the time, like you were saying, it would mean that the luck didn't feel like luck anymore. And it's like, yeah, okay, fine, I got 100%, but no, I want more than that. Yeah. I don't know.
And what if it means that you become really, you take everything for granted? Like if everything kind of goes a little bit your way, then what about the thing? Like it can't be, okay, if there were lots of things that went your way, there would still be some things. We're not saying that this little bit of luck travels across every single aspect of your day. So what if you just kind of get into the habit of taking things for granted that you're probably going to be a bit lucky and your luck falls on something else? Like what if you think, oh yeah, for example, okay, I have this job interview, on my way to work I'm going to walk over three drains, and instead right before you get into the office someone gives you like a free ice cream or something. And then you get in, you're like oh my god, that's so annoying that my luck has been wasted on an ice cream instead of this interview. Like
that would drive you crazy as well.
Yeah,
so like discussing the other side of things, life-changing luck, so for example, I don't know, winning the lottery or like escaping like a massive accident or something, and it was like, or being able to save your best friend from something. I have no idea, but I feel like the tricky thing is I feel like a lot of people have that luck anyway. Like some people do win the lottery.
Yeah.
You do sometimes escape a massive accident, like your plane was the one that left before the plane that crashed or whatever. And you feel like that's really, really lucky. So why does suddenly being able to grant yourself this one life-changing luck make any different? I feel like life is kind of like a lottery. Life is luck, and we do have these lucks.
Yeah, it's true. We just don't draw the link between superstition and the luck.
Yeah.
But I guess also, if you did have this, you were in this instance where a big piece of luck was going to come your way, a big experience of luckiness, I guess that would probably be for something that actually needs it. If you compare a very incredible experience of luck versus little pieces of luck every day, then the incredible piece of luck is more likely to benefit your life than these little ones. It's more likely to be like a life changing
and can have positive effects in the future, and it's like a snowball effect.
Yeah,
almost.
So like maybe that one you need more than the other one. I don't know.
I do agree, and I feel like it would make you less greedy because it's like you're living your life, mm-hmm. and suddenly a massive thing of luck you definitely feel it for one. You definitely benefit from it, and you wouldn't take it for granted, mm-hmm. which you could with the other ones.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, and I mean, I'm just thinking about Harry Potter and his liquid luck that he takes during that day where he, I know it's a bit different, but he gets really lucky for that, mm-hmm. just that whole day, and he was a bit of an ass, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, true that. And also it makes me think, if you had all this luck every day, if you had this one piece of big luck, then in your everyday experience, I feel like a lot of the time with superstitions, you look for things that prove your superstition to be true. So what if you choose the life which has the big piece of luck, and instead every day you choose to find things that are examples of luck? You just pay attention to these small pieces where something good happened to you, and you can say, oh, that's my luck,
and then you get the best of both
worlds.
I definitely think that is the answer that we are both inclined to go for. So the next song on our list here is called Bad Luck, which is a bit of a shame, but I don't know, it's still linked in with our theme today. How can we twist this around?
Good or bad luck?
That's true. Oh, well, that would change everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, have a little think about that while we listen to this song.
Yeah, maybe we'll think about it as well. Maybe we'll give you a little insight into our thoughts. But anyway, this is Bad Luck by Zach Top. I haven't heard it before. Have you? I don't know. Well, here we go. Sorry, I'm just babbling.
My lucky star fell out of the sky right before my wishing well went dry. Seems every which way I go, there's a black cat crossing the road. Played the lottery with last month's rent. I'm still waiting my ship to come in. Bad luck was always hanging around. A good roll was always letting me down. I had every reason in the world to give up, but you came along and now it's gone so she'd love me for life. Slipped out one night and never told me goodbye. My second love convinced me love again. Then she left me for my best friend. My third and fourth went crazy as hell. I even bought a rabbit's foot, but that didn't help. Was always hanging around. A good roll was always letting me down. I had every reason in the world to give up, but you came along and now it's gone so long. Bad luck. Ah. over my shoulder. 7 come 11, girl, I'm lucky I found you. Bad luck was always hanging around. A good roll was always letting me down. Had every reason in the world to give up, but you came along and now it's gone so long. Bad luck, so long, bad luck.
What a song. We so were good. Dancing in the studio. Definitely been added to my playlist that. So yeah, we were just having a little thought amongst ourselves about the answer to the would you rather question, but with bad luck. What do you think, Eliza?
For me, I think the big piece of bad luck over, oh, I don't know, now I'm kind of regretting saying it, but I think the big piece over small pieces of bad luck every day, because again, I think that would just really affect my mood. If every single day a little something went wrong, just like constant, and I was just so aware and I knew it was the luck, because I mean, I guess you're superstitious.
But doesn't that happen all the time? I feel like bad luck happens all the time.
Yeah.
So does good luck.
To see it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. We need to just have positive mindsets and never see all these little bad lucks that come our way. And then maybe we could just kind of ignore them or turn the bad lucks into good lucks.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine, you trod on a ladybug, but... Oh, no, that's... Okay, fine, you trod on a ladybug. I'm trying to save myself here. But maybe he was really sad and maybe he was already injured. I don't know. Okay. Okay, maybe that wasn't it. But on the other hand, massive bad thing that could affect you for the rest of your life.
So maybe the small bad luck and then you just kind of, you know, ride through it. It's only a little bit of small bad luck.
It is. It's all good. Well, that brings us to the end of our show today. I hope you have enjoyed it. I definitely have. You, Eliza?
Oh, I really have.
We were chuckling away the whole time. Great music. I hope you join us next week with our podcast. We have something great in store for you. Same time next week. Be there or be square. So that's a goodbye for me, Izzy Trubshaw.
Goodbye for me, Eliza Martin.
Bye bye.